Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For anyone who's looking for a new church home or just one to visit, you know, just walk in and check them out. Come see us at our sanctuary, which is located at 4071 North Foster Road. Join us on any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's invocation is taken from Psalm 138, taken out of the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading, and the title assigned to this paragraph is The Lord's Goodness to the Faithful. That is a key point. And I'll touch on more of them, but I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified the word, your word above your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words coming from your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of our Lord. Though God is Lord on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you will always revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord our God, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our pastor has asked me to touch on a couple of topics. And I will. I came home from Vietnam in December of 1970. And I was a brand new, freshly baptized Christian. But I was baptized by a Roman Catholic. You know, that's all, according to my family, it lived out in the country. That's almost like something that's been done to you. And I didn't find a Catholic church that I could agree with because they told me I had to have a civilian suit. I couldn't wear my dress greens to chapel. And that kind of didn't set well, and I said, well, if my uniform isn't good enough in this church, I need to find a different one. So it took me about that long to find an Episcopal church that would take anybody, no matter how you look. And before I'd been there very long, the person that had a ministry on Wednesday evenings, you know, when the elderly come for a revival every week, he was getting so he couldn't do it every week, so the chaplain asked me if I'd just help out a little bit. Man, that's the biggest lie you ever heard. Because within a month, the person that was there just a little bit and just needed a little bit of help needed a whole lot of help. It was my function. And I said, oh, well, the one that stands in front of you today was a volunteer who showed up just to help out a little bit. And were they going to teach me? Yeah. Hey, I've even had lessons since I've been here. Somebody told me that when you're leading the Lord's Prayer, you ought to use it. Don't confuse it. And I said, oh, what did I do wrong? You know, if you do enough wrong enough, somebody will tell you. But we need more people willing to step into leadership roles, and I'm not going to go into any details on that. I can tell you how I got here. But and I actually did go to school, but don't hold me to that. But the Lord will always stand up for you. And the Lord has eternal goodness to those who step out in faith to serve the people he puts in front of you. God be with you. And I will be at the, I'm going to leave out a little early this morning, and I'll be at the back door when you come out. If you get there before me, you're cutting out too loud.
Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Where are we here? We're fixing to pray. Amen? Now, before we pray, I want to say this to you real quick and just kind of preface you for worship this morning. Amen? We are going to worship the Lord. Amen? And we're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to give thanks to Jesus for all that he's done for us. And we're going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to remember this. God loves you very, very much. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the weather that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for our homes, our families, and the money and whatever things that you give us to live. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for our hope, our life, our trust, the faith that you give us in your dear Son, Jesus. And it's his name, Lord. Help us to glorify you and glorify him. Thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you, last night, me and my wife, I guess we, Dean and I, we just want to talk this morning. So give us a minute, all right? Now, last night, we got a chance to, my wife and I drove down to Waco, and we just had a wonderful time. We got to see our little three-year-old grandchild, and great-grandchild, you know, and I tell you, that really blessed us, and we had a wonderful time visiting with him and my daughter and my other grandkids, but I got to tell you, we drove back last night. And I'm a little beat up, so if I start to sound a little weird or whatever, you just throw something at me and forgive me, all right? Because we can talk about that. Okay. Just to kind of let you know what's coming down, all right?
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Taking somebody with skills to do things, and then you got to remind them to do some of it. But let us us. Ask God to be with each of us as we prepare to give our offering this morning and give according to God's need and not according to our worship concerns. God will always make it last.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above our heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Morning.
Today's scripture is imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being pulled with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by making me like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking into your own interest, but each of you into the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Amen. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Yes, Lord.
Give you thanks that you have gathered us here to hear a special message that you have created, that you have provided to our clergy, that they will give to us. And Lord, we ask that you be with Heather and Ted, and through everything that they say, remind us that it is your message that they are bringing to us, and it is our function to take it to our communities and give it to them. Lord, we should never let any of your words fall by the wayside.
Amen.
Be with us this day and always, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
When the battery goes dead on a cell phone, it turns off. Can you use it? Is it any good for anything? So what do you have to do when it goes dead like that? You recharge it, right? So today we're going to talk about recharging our batteries. Because, you know, we work hard, don't we? I bet you guys work real hard at school, don't you? Okay, well, that's a whole nother sermon there, sweetheart. Okay, so we're going to talk about when we work real hard, when we play hard. You kids, you play hard, right? Okay, we need to rest, don't we? If we work and work and play, what happens? We get so tired, can we do anything? No, we're like the phone. We're just like, right? Okay. Yeah. So today I'm going to talk about how Jesus did his recharge. Okay? He did a lot. And he had to recharge his battery. Because he went around and he did a lot of healing and teaching and preaching. And he was always moving around. So today I'm going to have you help me. I'm going to give you a story about Jesus. And if you think his battery is fully charged, I want you to wave your hands up like this. Okay? Or just put them up like this. Okay? If you think he's wearing out, I want you to put your hands where you think his battery's at. Okay? All right. So let's start the story. Okay. Jesus traveled all around Galilee, preaching, driving out demons, and healing people. One day, Jesus and some of his disciples went to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was there in bed with a fever, and you know what that means, right? You're real hot, you don't feel good at all. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Jesus took her by the hand, and he helped her up. And all at once, the fever left her, and she began to cook for everybody. So that was like a healing fast here. That evening, many people came to Jesus to be healed of all sorts of diseases. So where do you think Jesus' battery is right now? Yeah, probably about right here. It's wearing down, isn't it? The whole town gathered at the door to watch him. And it was a very, very long day. So at the next morning, he had to go find a very quiet place. So that night, where did his battery go? He went way down, yes. So he had to go find a real quiet place to pray and to recharge his spirit. So when Simon and the others woke up, they found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus had recharged his batteries. How did he recharge his batteries? He was praying. And he said to them, "Let's go to the other town." So where's his battery at now? It's way up here because it's recharged, right? All the way up. And he said, "Let's go to the other towns and villages so that I can preach to them too." And that's what he came to do. So they traveled throughout the region of Galilee, and Jesus preached to the synagogues, and he healed the people, and he cast out the demons. And then where was his battery at again? Down, lower, that's right. So he thought it was important that he had to go recharge himself again. And this is his spiritual battery. It's the battery that's inside of us. And it's important that we all do that. We all have to recharge our batteries. So this is how we have to do it. Yes, they do, but not the spiritual. Spiritual, it means we have to pray. We need to pray to recharge our batteries. So that's why we come to church all the time, right? We come to church on Sundays and we pray, don't we? And when we pray and we get our spiritual battery, where is it? It's way up here. So when we leave on Sundays, our battery should be fully charged. Right? Okay, so you're going to have a fully charged battery when you leave here today, darling. Okay, so now let's pray so we can start recharging that battery, all right? God, help us to remember that just as our bodies must be renewed by proper rest, our spirit must be renewed by spending time with you in prayer, Bible study, and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Before y'all go, Audrey, you and Heather and these little ones, Liam, Eton, and Hotshot, Suave, and I see Angelique. Angelique, can you come up? Can you come up, Hunts? Yessie, could you come up? Oh, okay, that's okay then. That's okay. That's all right. Maybe she doesn't. I can still pray for her. She can hear me, right? Okay. Oh, look at these dear children. Look at these dear children. Aren't they awesome? Look at them. These are what the Lord has given us. Amen? And we have got to train them and teach them and show them the right way. And the right way is the Lord's way. I'm so thankful for Heather and Andrea for teaching and showing them and all the rest of you that take a part in helping these dear ones. And I just want to pray for them right now, all right? We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you for these dear ones, for Yessie, for Suave, for Eton, and for Liam. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them. Bless their parents, their grandparents, and all those that are entrusted to take care of them. Help them to do well in school, Lord, to pay attention to the teachers, pay attention to those that are over them, and help us here at Alamo to bring them up in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning. We thank you so much for being here this morning, and we have a word from the Lord for you this morning. Amen? We have a word from the Lord that comes to us. Our subject this morning, or our title, is Learning How to Live as a Servant. Learning how to live as a servant of Christ. This thing about being a servant, I looked up some things and did some research and find out what exactly, where did that word servant come from, and what does it mean? I found out that actually in the King James Version it may say, or some other versions it may say, live life worthy as a slave. But through the ages, that term slave, because of the negative connotations that it has, was changed to the word of a servant. So in the Greek, in your New Testament, in Philippians, when that word comes up, in the Greek, that word, I believe, is dolci or dolci. And that means servant. So slave, servant. The thing to remember is this. You who belong to Christ, we are a slave to Christ. And that means that he is our Lord and he is our master. We are a servant of Christ. He is our Lord and our master. But I must tell you this morning, as the scripture says, that not only are we to serve Christ, but how do we serve Christ? How do we serve him while we're here on this earth? I would submit to you this morning that we serve him by serving each other. Amen? Now, here's something for you to think on this morning. And it comes from our scripture. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verses starting at verse 5, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Well, what in the world is the mindset of Christ Jesus? What was Jesus all about? Isn't he the Son of God? Isn't he at the right hand of the Father up in heaven? What mindset did he have? Well, listen to what Paul says in the next verse. He says, who being in the very nature of God. Do you know what that means? He was God. He was God. He did something he did not consider equality with God. And that equality thing is something that the Jews in that day, they hated him for that, because he was making himself equal with God. But he wanted them to understand that if they saw him, they saw God. And he says this, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In other words, here was the great King of Glory coming down to earth. He didn't use that to destroy the Romans or anything like this. This is what he did. He said, rather, he made himself nothing. 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 By taking the very nature of a what? A servant. Now, why in the world would Christ do that? The King of Glory. He's taken the very nature of a servant. And that servant is one who serves others. In fact, if when you read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus' definition of greatness in the kingdom of heaven, you had to be the least. His definition of greatness is that you had to be willing to serve others. You had to be willing to put others before yourself. Now, he says, and being, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You see, there, in this Christian journey, if you want to have the mindset of Christ, then you must be humble. You must humble yourself before God and quit thinking that it's all about you, because it's not. And it's all about Jesus. He said he humbled himself. This is what he did. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He obeyed his heavenly Father, and he went and he died for us on the cross. And he, by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross, and guess what? God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name. Amen. That at the same name of Jesus, you know what? I got to come down front and tell you this. You hear a lot of big talk in this country about a lot of things. This and that, and God's not this, and we don't care anything about God, and we don't want God around, and we don't care. We don't want that. No, we don't want that. But you know what that scripture says? That one day, every knee, I don't care how big you are, how much money you have, or what status you hold in this world, one day, you're going to have to bow that knee. One day. And what else did he say? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will do what? Confess that Jesus is Lord. So, a warning to you. If you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, and if you think that everything evolves around me or you, you're going to find out one day that it doesn't. And you're going to find out that it doesn't. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And one day, you're going to have to confess and say, yes, Lord, I know that you're Lord. I didn't believe, but I believe now. I just pray that it won't come at a time that's too late. So remember, have the very mindset of Christ. And as I talk, having the very mindset of Christ is being a servant to one another. Oh, that is so very important, folks. Let me try to let you see this. To be a servant to one another means that you got to think of others more than yourself. Amen. And you've got to be able to put someone else in front of you. Someone else is more important than you. Someone else needs your hand. Someone else needs your phone call. Someone else needs a touch from you, or just to say hello. You know, I love you. You know, that's what being a servant. You know, in order for us to do that, we've got to have the mindset of Christ, and we've got to use that other characteristic that he had and he wants us to have, and that is humility. Oh, my goodness. How many of you in here are pretty humble? I'm not going to raise my hand because I'm not always humble like I ought to be. Amen? And if we're honest with each other and you're honest with yourself, we're not always humble either. But you know what? The Lord will make you humble. Amen? He'll make you humble. And if you want to be humble, if you want to come before the Lord in humility, then you have to
You have to do that. You've got to have that mindset of Christ, and you've got to be humble. In humility, the Lord, he was very humble on this earth. He invited everyone to come to him. He didn't hold back on anybody. You know what? I thank God that he did that, because he didn't hold back on Ted Robinson. Amen. A lot of us, we look at folks and we say, well, there's no hope for that person. There's nothing that God can do for that person. But I would submit to you this morning that nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Nothing is impossible. Everyone, I don't care what social status or whatever group you may put yourself in, nothing is impossible, God. And he can turn a cold, icy heart to a heart of fire, brimming with love and humility. You got to be humble. And one of the things that humility does, as the scripture, he said God exalted him. God resists the proud, but he exalted those that are humble. One of the things that the Lord really hates is a proud heart. Amen? He don't like it when we're walking around like this, going, I'm all that, and then I'm looking down on somebody else because they have a lower status than me. That's not good for a believer. That's not good. That is not right. That is not having the mindset of Christ. And you know what else, folks? Here's something, a challenge to you to do through this week. One of the best ways that I've seen here in this church, and one of the biggest cry that I've heard, is nobody calls me. Pastor, do they love me? Pastor, do they know that I'm sick? Pastor, can somebody just call me? Call me. I would submit to you that one of the things I know Jesus wants us to do, let's be more attentive to each other. Amen? Now, I know there's some that are way ahead of me on this, but in case that you're not, spend some time. Take that prayer list home with you in our bulletin. Take it home with you and pray over it. Pray, and not do that. Give that person a call and just say, hey, hello, how you doing? We missed you. We can't look forward. I think of one dear member. I hesitate to call his name, but I know he wouldn't mind. And that's Mr. Homer Vargas. Homer is such a dear one. He's one that wants, listen to me, he wants to come to church. This is what gets me. He wants to come to church, but he can't because of his health concerns. And you know what he does when he can't come to church? He calls people. Now you think about that for a minute. Here is a veteran that's handicapped, disabled, but yet he can pick up the phone and say, hey, pastor, you know, or whatever, or send an email. You know. So I challenge you, look at that list and see what the Lord wants you to do. See that you can call. And you know what, folks? I've issued this Lenten challenge, and I'll issue it again. You know, pick someone off that prayer list. Actually, I hope you do it before Lent. But Lent, since that's a special time for us, pick someone off that prayer list. Anyone, two or three, and set up a time to pray. Set up a time to pray. Now, don't do like me, go in the living room with the TV on so I can hear what the Cowboys are doing, because I can't pray like that. Turn everything off. Get quiet in there. Let it get quiet. And instead of the world filling your mind, let Jesus get in there. Amen? You see, to let Jesus get in there, you got to turn the world off. You've got to shut the world off. The two don't mix. They just don't. So, but take that challenge and pray for that person or person, you know, during that Lenten period. And I'm hoping this will put you in the mood of prayer every day. Not just on Lent, but every day. Have the mindset of Christ. Our goal as believers on this journey is to be like Christ. To be like him. That's what we live for. That's what we hope for. That's what we look for when the Lord comes. He can he'll see his servants. And you know what, folks? The Lord knows who belongs to him. He knows exactly who belongs to him. He knows when you're being funny. He knows that when you're playing games with him. He knows that when you say something and you really don't mean it. He knows that when you offer your, make a promise to someone, he knows when you mean it and he knows when you don't mean it. I would submit to you this morning, don't play games with the master. He's not one to be fooled around with. You don't test the Lord. Have the mindset of Christ. Have that mindset. As I finish on with the rest of the scripture, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, if you have already reserved, obey. This may not be in your bulletin. This is an addition that I'm adding. But if you have your Bibles, it's the 12th verse of the second chapter of Philippians. It says, therefore, my friends, as you have already obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, when I first read this scripture, I got a little concerned because I said, wait a minute now. I thought salvation was through faith and grace without works. Is Paul telling us that we need to work and do something? That's not what Paul is telling us here. What he's telling us to do, that when you've been saved, when you've been born again, you ought to work. You ought to work the works that Christ had given you to do. And you do it with fear and trembling. In other words, you do it with love, and you do it because you care about the Lord. He says it, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Your purpose, dear one, in this life is to be a servant. Your purpose is to be a servant. Your purpose is to be like Christ. And being like Christ means that you are a servant. I thank God this morning that he made me a servant, that he made you a servant. And I pray that he would continue to help me to grow into servanthood and to be more like him. I love this verse, this chapter of this book of Philippians, because this was a dear church that was going through some things. Paul had established his church, I think Paul and Silas did, and the church was growing, but now Paul was in prison, and now he was writing this church to keep going, to be the great example. Follow the Lord's example. You see, folks, in this Christian life, there's no secret to this. There's no magic books or magic formula. If you want to be like Christ, how in the world would you do that? As we already submitted, follow the great example of our Lord. Oh, my friend, if you're looking for a hero this morning, if you're looking for someone that you can look up to and not worry about what the FBI has got on them or whatever. If you're looking for someone who's true and honest and full of integrity and love and hope and joy, turn your eyes to Jesus. Amen. Turn your eyes to him. He is your great example. You don't need any heroes. All you need is Jesus. All you need, all we need is Jesus. So be know that the Lord is with you, and he knows that we need help. He knows that we are his children, his sheep, and our sheep, we need the good shepherd to follow, to take care of us. And I believe in all my heart that he is worthy, that he will do what he says. As I close this morning, I want to say this to you. Live life that's worthy of the gospel. Live life that's worthy of the calling and the purpose that God has put in your heart. And as I want you to do this. The Bible wants you to do it. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You say you belong to Christ. I can see that on Sunday morning, but I can't see that on Monday, Tuesday through Saturday at Walmart or HEB or anywhere else where you're just carrying on and just doing everything that's contrary to being like Christ. Live your life every day. Every day. Pray every day. Every day live your life so that you might become an example. Because you know what? Folks are looking at you. They're watching you. And they want to know that if you really are for Christ, or if you're just playing around and playing games and trying to make everybody feel good. So this morning, stay close to Christ. Emulate Him. Imitate Him. Do the things that He did. Show love to one another. And don't be afraid to do it. Never, ever be afraid to show love to anyone. Never be afraid to stretch your hand out to a brother or sister in need and say, what can I do to help you? You know what the greatest asset of this church is? I believe is your love for one another. Because that love is going to spread. When it starts here, it's going to spread out into the community. And believe me, folks, the community, the state, the country, the world needs the love of Jesus. So this morning, stay close to Christ. Put your arms around Him and hold on to Him. Because He's going to take us every step of the way. And when you get to your final home, you can hear the Master say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on in. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into your rest. Oh, my goodness. To go and enter to our rest with the mindset of Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, ask the Lord to look deep in your heart, to show you some things that you need to take care of. Ask the Lord to help you to be more of a servant. Lord, what can I do to be more of a servant? What can I do to imitate you? What can I do, Lord, that shows that I am like you? The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come and offer their respect, their prayers, and repent of whatever you need to do to the Lord. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come.
Will you stand for our hymn of invitation? Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He
He is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. The singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
That song would just...
Would you stand for our closing hymn? His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Go in peace.